Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I would like to ask you to stay with me. As usual, we will have a time of motivation, some inspiration, a lot of education. And we do all of that without any type of manipulation, no con games here. We're not asking you for money. We're not trying to solicit membership. Our objective is to give you some information that'll help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. If you can do that, then fantastic. You can orient and adjust to the plan if you'd like to do so. But here on the Flatline, we deal with wonderful problem-solving devices. 10 unique problem-solving devices that God gave us in eternity past. They're called the Flatline, F-L-O-T, the forward line of troops, your main line of resistance. This was taught by my pastor many years ago, and he's gone to be with the Lord now, but I continue to teach what he brought up and taught me, how we can withstand the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside source of stress. That's why we say adversity is inevitable. However, stress is optional. By using those 10 unique problem-solving devices called the Flatline, you can stop those outside sources from becoming stress into your life. We've been over them many, many times. We have written a book about them that's free for the asking. But remember, the problem-solving device number one, rebound, problem-solving device number one, when we sin, how do we deal with that? And then we solve it by doing what the Bible says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, then God's faithful and just to forgive us. That's our first problem-solving device. The second problem-solving device is how do we deal with the genetically formed old sin nature that we got from Adam? And the answer is we walk under the power of God's Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, Paul wrote in Galatians. And then we have the faith rest drill, problem-solving device number three, standing on the promises of God. As Moses told the Jews in the Exodus when Pharaoh was hot on their heels, stand still and watch God deliver you today. Those first three are phenomenal problem-solving devices, not even counting doctrinal orientation, grace orientation, having a personal sense of destiny, personal love for God and personal love for others, sharing the happiness of Christ and occupation with Christ. These are all essential for the believer if he's going to grow, if he's going to glorify God. And as you go through your time in this sin-infested planet, I started a study 2 weeks ago with you to highlight some attitudes that you must have, some things that are critical for you. And I wanted to go over them with you and hopefully review some of them with you today. Because the Bible talks about our time on earth, and it uses two different words. One word in the Bible translated time, T-I-M-E, is chronos, C-H-R-O-N-O-S. We get chronology from that, or chronograph. And then we have another word pronounced kairos. One of these words, kairos, is not about a specific time, not like 6:04 p.m. It's more about an event at a certain time. So when the Bible says now is the day of salvation, now is the time, that's a kairos, not a specific, it's not 10:05 p.m. you're supposed to accept Christ. So as we go through and look at these things, how do I survive in time? The first thing we saw was you have to be punctual. Punctuality is critical for you. Without punctuality, then you're never going to have much of an impact in the devil's world. And we just did quite a bit of study on that, and then we went into patience. And that's where we left you last week, talking about patience, how it's critical for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to have patience in his life. And the reason is because patient people will wait on God's timing. Impatient people, they won't do that. They'll leap to their own destruction. I quoted you last week a verse in Deuteronomy 14:42. Here, after the Jews had decided they could not take the promised land, after the 12 spies had gone in and 10 came out and said, no way, we can't do it. There are giants in there. And then and Joshua and Caleb said, oh, yes, we can. And they were overruled. Once they heard the discipline that would come upon them because of that, Once they heard that they would all die in the wilderness until their children had grown up and their children would take the land, they decided to rectify things with God. And so they decided they would go ahead and enter the land when God said, no, you're not going to take it. You know, you've turned away and I'm not going to be with you. And this is what Moses told them. He said, and talking about impatient people, don't go up there lest you be defeated by your enemies because the Lord's not with you. This is Deuteronomy 12:43. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you. They'll kill you by the sword because you turned away from the Lord. And as a result of that, the Lord will not go with you. Now listen to what it says. They presumed to go up to the mountain, but the Ark of the Covenant nor Moses went with them, and they were utterly destroyed. This is right after they rejected the offer to take the land. At the right time, see, God always has a right time and a wrong time. The right time was when he told them to do it. This is not the right time. This is them impetuously deciding on their own that they were going to do it, and now it's the wrong time. Once that discipline had been pronounced, they had a change of heart. The discipline was in Numbers 14:29, but the change of heart was a little bit too late. So God has perfect timing for you. There are things in your life that you must fulfill at the right time, doing the right thing. And that's why the protocol plan of God is important. Protocol means the right thing has to be done in the right way. And so we learn that faithful people act on time, and unfaithful people lose time. Listen to Psalm 102, verse 3. My days vanish like the smoke, and my bones burn like glowing embers. This is reviewing. In Psalm 102, verse 23, in the course of my life, he broke my strength, and he cut short my days. In Psalm 89:49, you've cut short the days of his youth, and you've covered him with a mantle of shame. And then in Proverbs 3:1-2, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my mandates, for a length of days and a long life, and the peace they will add to you. The principle is you can shorten your life by getting out of the plan of God, getting out of the will of God, going down the my way highway and doing something impetuously stupid. And you may have done that already. But if you're alive, if the dust clears and the dust smoke settles and you're still alive, God still has a plan for your life. He hasn't thrown you under the bus, but you may be under some divine discipline. And you may have to wait out that discipline till you get where you can exercise God's plan for your life. But God has a plan for you, and that plan revolves around the right time, doing the right thing, and you being patient. Now, another trait that mature believers must have is priority. That means that they're willing to fulfill God's plan for their life, and it requires the right priority if you're going to do that. If you want to fulfill God's plan for your life, you must prioritize things. Like, did you look at your watch this morning? You know, you looked at it, you looked at your cell phone, you got your priorities right, you know. Maybe if you're going to church later today, someone's going to demand that you be there on time and meet them at the restaurant after whatever, you know. We all have priorities, everybody. But we give a little small segment of our time to our Lord, most of us on Sunday mornings, to learn about him, to grow, to understand his plan. But I want you to know that it takes more than just on Sunday morning. Just Sunday morning worship, you're never going to grow to be a spiritually mature believer if that's all you do. That's like eating one meal a week. You're going to starve to death. So the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3:18, here's the first priority you must have: grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The reason I say it's a priority, because the Greek verb grow is an imperative mood verb. That means this is a command from God. This is not a request. You are commanded by God to grow as a Christian. You cannot grow going to church just on Sunday morning. Most of the time, you're going to go through the mechanics of the worship service, the songs, the announcements, and the yada, 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 yada. And if the preacher really gets to teach the Bible, if he gets to do 30 minutes, he's lucky. Most of the churches I've spoken on Sunday morning, I don't even get 30 minutes because of all the other rituals on the program. So if you want to grow, it's going to take more than 30 minutes a week. You say, well, I go on Sunday night too. Well, so you get an hour a week. If you went to the first grade and you went for an hour a week, would you ever get out of the first grade? And the answer is no. Another thing to prioritize is 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study is another imperative verb, not a request, a mandate. So we've had two, grow and study. You can't grow if you don't study. What do you study? You study what the pastor teaches you. You should have a well-qualified pastor that can teach you God's word. And you listen and you learn and you apply. You learn what he teaches you. You write the notes down. You go over your notes and you apply it into your life. And you're not going to do that just on 30 minutes on Sunday morning. I recommend to you that you have a routine of studying every day. And I am not talking about a daily devotion. I'm not talking about a 10-minute devotion in the morning. I'm talking about sitting down under a pastor every day, letting him feed you and teach you the Word of God. You say, who does that? A lot of men. And if you don't know where, contact me. I'll pass the information on to you, where you can order their DVDs or their MP3s, and you can sit in your home with your Bible and a cup of coffee and study and write notes and learn right there. And that'll be a great supplement. I mean, don't people take supplements? I mean, they have meals, but to take supplements, that's a supplement for you, a way to grow. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, another mandate. Study, grow, learn. This is not a request. It's a mandate from the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the number one priority if we're talking about prioritizing things? What's the number one priority in your life besides your health? Well, let me give you some principles. First of all, trouble will come to any Christian who doesn't make God's word the number one priority in his life. I remember my wonderful pastor once said this, you're living on borrowed time every time you are not utilizing, not learning, or not making the Word of God your number one priority in life. 3, the first thing we must remember is that people emphasis must never take priority over God emphasis. In other words, which one's the most important, God's Word or what your friends want you to do? You have to make sacrifices. You have to be routine. You have to say, I can't do that. I got to do this. You know, I can do that later. If you don't set priority, if you don't set routines, Satan will lure you away from studying the Word of God. He won't let you study the Word of God because he doesn't want you being dangerous. He likes you being a nobody where you don't know anything and you can't have an impact. If he can keep you like that, that's what he wants. When you start studying God's word under a well-qualified pastor and you start growing to spiritual maturity, he is going to take note of that and you're going to become dangerous because you can begin to replicate the life of Christ. You can begin to represent Jesus Christ. That's the last thing the devil wants. So making the word of God priority in your life says nothing comes before learning and applying the Word of God in your life. You see, you learn by education, and you learn by experience. You hear it, you believe it, you use it, and then it's part of you. It becomes that way. The Word of God you learn, the Word of God you understand, is the Word of God you experience when you're in pressure. The experience is as much a learning part as the hearing it is. So no one can have a perfect sense of destiny in their life if they don't have their priorities right. And God wants you to have a sense of destiny. That's your problem-solving device. Number 6, a personal sense of destiny. But if you don't have your priorities right, you're never going to get that right. You know, people ruin their lives. This is a good principle I want you to hear. People ruin lives. Ruined lives are the result of wrong priorities. Point 6. Ruined lives are the results of wrong priority. And 7, Satan will manufacture distractions to eliminate you being an effective witness in the angelic conflict. If you don't think he will, you wait till you start wanting to grow. You wait till you start trying to study. You wait till you make it a principle that you say, all right, I'm gonna sit down every day. I'm going to get the tapes. I'm going to get the DVDs. I'm going to listen. I'm going to learn. I'm going to apply it. You watch what happens. You won't believe the attack you'll come under. Everything will be designed to shut you down and not let you ever become a spiritually mature believer. But you have to. Like Paul, what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, you must be able to say when your time is up on this earth. He said, and I quote Paul, 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought an honorable fight. I advanced to spiritual maturity. That's what he's saying. I've completed my course. In other words, I executed God's protocol plan in my life. So he said, I've fought an honorable fight. I've completed my course. I have guarded the doctrine. That's his number one priority. Not to let it be twisted, not to let it be convoluted, not to let it be distorted, but to teach the simple truth of faith alone in Christ alone. Not salvation by works, not spirituality by works, salvation by grace, spirituality by grace. How are you saved? Through faith alone in Christ alone. How do you live the Christian life? By allowing God's Holy Spirit to control your life and manifest His presence in your life with what's called the fruit of the Spirit, and you grow and you understand and you replicate Christ. Here's some principles in regards to priority. 1, it takes time to learn God's Word. I'm sorry, it just takes time. There is no such thing as an overnight weekend sensation. I mean, if you don't set aside time for the Word of God in your life, you will never fulfill the destiny He has for you. All this birdseed garbage stuff about living your dreams and you can do it and work hard and succeed your dreams and you'll be happy, that's a lie from the devil himself. Listen, you could not even imagine what God has for you. What He has for you is so much higher than what you would have for yourself. What He would like to give you is much greater than what you would want to give for yourself. Now, don't follow your dreams. Follow God's dreams. Jeremiah talks about it. It says, listen, if you want to brag about something, you brag about you understand me and you know me. He talked about in Jeremiah, he didn't send those people to talk about getting their dreams. God sent men, prophets, pastors, evangelists, to talk about His Word, not about you following some dream. Yeah, you want to be an actor. Yeah, you want to be a celebrity. Yeah, you want to be a pro athlete. And you get it, and you earn your way there, and you're miserable, you're not happy. Oh, but you're making a lot of money, and you're just distraught, you're destroying your life. You followed your dream, okay, but it wasn't what you thought. Listen, God's plan for you with His personal sense of destiny is much greater than any dream you would ever have. But if you don't learn His Word, if you don't make an effort, you will never get it. You'll never understand it. I mean, come on, think about this. If you don't have time for God, why would you expect God has time for you? Oh, I know. You want Him to do your bidding at the time you desire. Maybe not the time He designates. You know, let me have it now, God. Well, I can tell you this. God won't give where there's no capacity. And if you don't have spiritual capacity to handle something, He's not going to pour it out on you. So the key for you and me to operate under God's timetable is found in one key passage of Scripture. If we don't do this, we'll never figure it out. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Well, humble is tapainoo, the Greek word tapainoo. Remember I said it's an imperative mood. In those other verbs, this one is too. This is a command. This is not a request. It's a command for you to have a humility profile, which means you respond to authority. You're not arrogant. You respond. You don't react. If the Lord tells you to do something, yes, sir, I'll do it. It's humility. And it's a wonderful thing to have. Not trying to arrogantly go around authority, not trying to arrogantly defy authority, but obeying authority of the police officer, of the principal, of the teacher, of your parents, even if you might not like it. If you want to learn what that's about, join the military. Find out what authority is about and things you may have to do that you don't like. There have been a lot of wonderful soldiers, men and women, who died doing things they didn't like just so you could be free to do what you want to do. You want to humble yourself? Develop that humility profile. It starts with authority orientation. And then this verse says, verse 7 of 1 Peter 5, casting all your cares. The Greek word epiripto is the active voice verb, and it means this, that you have to make a decision at some time in your life. Sometime in your life, you must decide, am I going to let him run the show, or will I keep running the show? Well, how's that working out for you? How are you doing with it? Married and divorced a few times? In prison? In jail? Recovering from a lot of horrible mistakes? Not working too good? Are you alive? Yeah. It's not too late. It's never too late to orient and adjust to God's plan. In spite of any mistake I have made in my life in the past, His grace has always helped me recover. His grace has always helped me get back to my feet and keep moving, not lay down, not feel sorry for myself, not have a pity party, get up and keep moving. He always forgives. He always restores. And He will do it for you, if you let Him. Here are some first principles in the issue of timing. You must, at some point of time in your life, turn the reins over to Him. You have to trust God to do what He wants to do in your life. Not what you want to do. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 22:42. Here's what Christ said. Not my will, but thy will be done. What about you? Could you say that? Not my will, but thy will be done. I've seen a lot of people that couldn't say that because they didn't have the attitude of humility. They couldn't orient to the authority of God's word. They had no meekness of personality. So humility is simply orientation to the word of God, not being some weak-shouldered, wimpy person. It's orienting to the authority of the word of God. Without that, you'll never be able to surrender control of your life or your destiny by using the faith rest drill. That's the process of surrendering, using the faith rest drill. You can't have God's plan fulfilled without that. You've got one priority every day, and that's for you to grow. And that can't be done if you don't study. And you can't learn if you don't study. So to grow, you have to study, learn, and apply. Someone once said LAG, learn, apply, glorify, L-A-G, learn, apply, glorify. So the Word of God has to be cycled. You have to take it where it becomes gnosis or information, and to the Greek word epinosis or full information, full knowledge. Once you take the Word of God, you learned, and you apply it into your life, it becomes wisdom. You use it in the experience. But the priority that's required for this is self-discipline. Without self-discipline, you will never grow because you'll never be able to put that, studying God's word, priority number one. We all got to have priorities. I mean, my priority is to get the information my pastor teaches me and to apply it in my life every day. What's your priority? Your pastor can give you the knowledge, but only you and God the Holy Spirit can apply the knowledge. So application of that means that you are prioritizing God's word as a standard of living in your life. It's amazing. You want to hear something really amazing? In the Bible, there is something called word, W-O-R-D. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. John 1:1. Jesus Christ is the Logos, the Word, the Logos. But there's another translation for Word, and it's called Rhema, R-H-E-M-A. The difference in these two is the rhema traditionally is the written word, and the logos is the living word. And here's the most unique thing you'll ever hear. God's desire is to take the rhema inside of you and transform you into the logos, to transform you into a Christ-like replica. Listen to Galatians 2:20. See if you can figure this out. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. You hear that? The rhema had become the logos. It's no longer I. It's now Christ in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So you got one objective in time. Grow up, become a spiritually mature person, and on top of that, to replicate the life of Christ, to be occupied with him. And that includes personal love for him, which is your motivational virtue, and impersonal love for others, which is your functional virtue. So if you're occupied with Christ, thinking like Christ, responding to the authority of the Word of God, replicating the life of Christ, you're on your way to being a winner believer. You're on the way to having the graduation ceremony when you get to heaven. You'll hear him say, "Well done, my good and my faithful servant." That's all God's looking for, a faithful servant. I hope you're listening. I hope you're learning. I enjoy giving it to you. Next week, same time, same place. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you so much for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.